This is the week to be thankful. Congress decided as much back in 1789 when members asked George Washington to create for Americans a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a constitution of government for their safety and happiness. Grateful hearts, God, government-directed prayer celebrating the blessings of liberty. Contrast those gushing words with the stark, less inspiring language of the Thanksgiving law today. The following are public holidays. Thanksgiving, the fourth Thursday in November. Congress toned it down a bit, certainly, because of our increasing Establishment Clause sensibilities. And no matter how you feel about religion, whether under God should be part of the pledge or not, whether the Ten Commandments belong in public buildings or not, a little prickliness about government-mandated religious observance is something to be thankful for. I offer as proof a century's worth of legislation and cases following that first Thanksgiving law to convince even the most zealous believers that it's better today to leave inspiration for prayer out of the statutes and to our not-always-in-agreement grateful hearts. Consider this Alabama law on the books in 1843, prohibiting much on Sundays. No worldly business or employment, ordinary or servile work, works of necessity or charity excepted, nor shooting, sporting, hunting, gaming, racing, fiddling, or other music for the sake of merriment, not any kind of playing, sports, pastimes, or diversions shall be done, performed, or practiced by any person or persons within this territory on the Christian Sabbath. That's right. Put in 2004 language, no bears against the Packers, no weekly crossword puzzle, no rock radio, no raking leaves on Sundays. And because Thanksgiving was treated just the same in the laws of many states, prohibiting vain recreation that day as well, no Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. With statutes on the books like that one, it's no surprise that courts found people criminally liable for breaking the Sabbath and days of Thanksgiving when the guilty had traveled, fished, played baseball, shucked corn, cut hair, gathered seaweed, sold the Sunday newspaper. The government said those days were days of rest, and by golly, it meant it. And lest you think the restriction's only a relic of the antebellum South, those cases are from Connecticut, New York, Ohio, Maryland, Michigan, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania. Imagine an Illinois in which neighbors testified against the neighbor who found it fit to plow his field on a Sunday. Or a New Hampshire in which selectmen and tithing men were authorized to stop and detain any person they suspected was traveling unnecessarily on a Sunday. Some courts openly admitted that the restrictions had much to do with enforced worship. Others upheld the laws, they said, because nature, experience, and observation suggested the propriety of a day of rest. California's highest court, though, was then as now a little ahead of the curve. As early as 1858, it declared a Sabbath law unconstitutional, writing that the truth is that this one day of rest is a purely religious idea, and set free a man who'd been sent to prison for selling shirts on a Sunday. So this Thanksgiving, I'm thankful that we've altered a bit the way we view thankfulness as a nation. This is the week to be thankful if we so choose, and then head outside to toss around a football. I'm Amy Guida.